And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Mantra Meditation Hour on CITR 101.9 FM with your congenial host, Raghunath.
You're listening to the CITR Radio in Vancouver, 101.9 FM. The show is called Mantra. My name is Raghunath. I'll be here for the next hour playing various mantra-based music. Kirtan. First track is going to be Vyasaki with Ake Bajibe. We'll be back a little bit after this to let you know more about what we're going to be doing today. And give us a call, 604-822-2487.
Thank you. Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radha Jaya Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radha Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radha Radha Gopala Radha Gopala Radha Rupa Goswami Pranadana Re Rupa Goswami Pranadana Re Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radha Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radha Jaya Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radha Jaya Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radha Rupa Goswami Pranadana Re Rupa Goswami Pranadana Re Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radha Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radha
The first track that we heard today was Vyasaki with R.K. Bajabay. That's also the main refrain from the song R.K. Bajabay Bangsi Shama Vajanai, written in the Bengali language. The refrain basically means, now that Sham has left Braj, who else will play the flute? In the Vedic tradition, in the activities in life of Krishna, there another name for Krishna being Shyam, because of his darkish color, complexion. He resided in a place called Braj. And this song is being sung in the mood of those people, family members and friends that surrounded him and were very much attached to him. So in the Bhakti tradition, then throughout the world, these different traditions of devotion, there's an object of love, and then, or the beloved, and then there is the those that are devoted to him. And this is actually the way that that one connects with the Supreme, develops a relationship, a loving relationship with the Supreme through devotion. This song is being sung in that sort of mood of separation from the object of love. And a lot of songs in the Vaishnava tradition where this is coming from about that mood or feelings of separation from the Supreme. And this is actually a way of almost becoming more connected with the Supreme through feelings of separation. This is a common practice in the Bhakti traditions all over the world. And following that, we heard from Karuna with some names of Radha and Krishna. So it kind of falls, the two songs are kind of connected in that little set. That when one talks about Krishna, one immediately thinks about Radha, who is, if you think about the male and female yin-yang energies, Krishna represents the male energy and Radha the female. So the two of them are inseparable. And so these are different names that were being chanted for Krishna, such as Gopinatha. We mentioned Shyam as well, and Radha. So the next part of this show, I thought we could do, I came across a few tracks that have been given to me in the past little while, which are dedicated to Shankara, to Shiva. And so I thought we could do a little set. It's going to start out with the infamous, I guess say famous, not very say infamous really, the famous Ravi Shankara. The Shiva from the Shiva Shadakshara Stotram, and the verse that is chanted in that is Omkaram Bindu Samyuktam Nityam Jayanti Yoginaha Kamadam Mukshidam Chaiva Omkaraya Namo Namaha. So Shiva, another name for, the word means auspicious. It's one of the translations for the words from the Sanskrit language. And Shiva is a popular personality, even in modern culture now, often depicted in meditation. So the translation, Omkaram Bindu Samyuktam, salutations to him who resides in the spiritual heart center as Omkar, on whom the yogis constantly meditate, who grants all desires and also liberation to his devotees. Salutations to that Shiva who is represented by syllable Om. The first syllable of the Sadakshara mantra, Om Namah Shivaya. This is from a verse from the Shaivite tradition, or those who are followers of Shiva, who is the object of their meditation, object of their devotion. It's a nice story that I came across, that I heard a while ago, and then I came across it just recently, about the marriage between Parvati and Shiva. Parvati is Shiva's wife, or the name of one of the names of his wife. We have time, I'll read it a little bit. It's not that long. But one day when Parvati was only 8 years old, her father, Himavan, took her to see Lord Shiva. From birth, Parvati had always been very spiritual. She always wanted to know about God, so she was thrilled to see Lord Shiva. But Lord Shiva was in a meditative consciousness, and he did not pay any attention to the little girl. After that first encounter, Parvati used to come every day to see Lord Shiva. She would offer him fresh flowers, hoping that one day he would open his eyes and speak to her. In the back of her mind, she had formed the idea that this was the man she wanted to marry. The days became years, and Parvati grew into a beautiful young woman. Still, Shiva remained absorbed in his eternal trance. How could anybody disturb Shiva's trance? Once he enters into trance, he enjoys the highest and deepest bliss, so why should he come back? One day, Parvati confided to her father, "I really want to marry Lord Shiva. He's meditating and meditating. How I wish that I could also meditate like him." Himavan was very sad that Shiva was not paying any attention to his beautiful daughter, who was so spiritual in every way. He decided to play a trick on Shiva. He invoked the god of love to disturb Shiva's meditation. The name of this particular god was Madana. Madana, which is the name for Cupid, had a bow and some arrows that were made of flowers. He used to shoot these arrows at his victims, and then they would be filled with feelings of emotional love. At Himavan's request, Madana aimed his arrows at Lord Shiva, and the arrows fell as flowers at Shiva's feet. Suddenly, Shiva opened his third eye and caught sight of the god of love standing with his bow in his hands. Shiva immediately burned this unfortunate god to ashes because he had disturbed Shiva's meditation. Meanwhile, Parvati was standing nearby with the most beautiful garland in her hands. But Lord Shiva did not pay any attention to her. It was as if she did not even exist. He simply closed his eyes again and went into trance. Parvati's parents had witnessed the whole scene and they were furious with Lord Shiva. They felt that he had insulted their dearest daughter. "You cannot marry him, Parvati," they said. "This Shiva has been insulting you for so many years now, you must not waste your time on him any longer." But Parvati would not budge. "I'm going to stay here," she declared. "From now on, I shall eat only leaves, wet leaves." With heavy hearts, Parvati's parents returned home without their daughter. For several years, Parvati stayed near Shiva, eating only wet leaves. Then she started eating only dry leaves. After a few more years, she gave up eating leaves altogether. When she gave up eating leaves, her name became Aparna, which means one who does not eat even a leaf. Parvati became the goddess Aparna at that time because of her extreme tapasya, or spiritual discipline. As time passed, Parvati went one step further. She stopped drinking water. She was living on nothing but air. Himavan saw that his daughter was becoming very weak. He knew that it was only a matter of time before she would die. So Himavan went to see Lord Shiva and said, "Can you not see what you are doing to my daughter? All her life she has wanted only one thing, and that is to marry you. But you have never even looked at her. If you are determined not to marry her, at least look at her. Otherwise she will surely die." Shiva condescended to look at Parvati, but to himself he said, "Let me test her one last time before I marry her." Poor Parvati had endured so many tests, and still Shiva wanted to test her love and devotion. He took the form of an ordinary man and approached her. "You are such a beautiful girl," he said. "Why are you wasting your time here? I have heard that you want to marry Shiva, but what kind of man is he? He spends all of his time in the cremation ground in the company of his ghost-like friends. The garland around his neck is made of skulls. How can you marry someone as frightening as Shiva? Forget about him. Marry a normal man like me." Parvati's eyes burned. "What you are saying is untrue. Go away from here and leave me alone. I know who Shiva is. Do not throw your doubts and suspicions into me. I will never marry you. Never. I will marry only my Lord Shiva. If you do not leave me alone this instant, I shall curse you." At that moment, Shiva assumed his true form once more. Parvati was so moved and overwhelmed to see him standing before her. Shiva said to her, "Any boon that you want, I shall give you." Parvati said, "You do not know by this time what boon I want. I want only to marry you." "Granted," said Shiva. After Shiva and Parvati were married, Parvati came to know that she had been Shiva's wife in her previous incarnation. Her name then was Sati, and she immolated herself because her father, Daksha, insulted Shiva. But that is another story. So the first track is going to be, in this set, is going to be by Ravi Shankar, entitled Omkaraya Namaha. We're going to also hear from Masood Ali Khan with Om Namo Shivaya from Yoga Sessions, and also a remix of Mahadev by Rara Avis of Jayutel's Mahadev. And that should bring us pretty much to the end of that set.
Oh, Jai Shiva Shambhava. Mustafa Adinda Mari. Samokanda. Amesa Walita Ule. Ule Sankara Jabrika. Ule Mubrika Mampola Matari Kodanti.
FM in Vancouver. This is a track from a few years ago by Ralph Rosenbilto, Hommage Noir, which means homage to the night. Seemed like an appropriate way to end a little set that we did on Shiva, who is kind of known for his nighttime activities, for his prevalence of presence in his in the nighttime hours. First track was by recording by Ravi Shankar and friends, followed by Masood Ali Khan from Yoga Sessions release, and then we heard from a remix of Jai Uttal's Mahadev by the Desert Dwellers folks. Pretty much brings us to the end of the show. There's going to be a couple of tracks to cap up with, off with. The first one is going to be a recording by our good friend Sandra Lee of the Give Peace a Chant gatherings in Vancouver. It's going to be the Shanti mantra, one of the Shanti mantras, Om Shanti Antarik Shagunda Shanti Prithvi Shanti Rapar Shanti Roshadaya Shanti Vanas Pataya. It goes on, ending with Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. The word Shanti, rough translation, means peace or peacefulness, and an English translation of what you're going to hear: may there be peace in the universe and the world. May peace be on our earth. May peace reside in nature and everything that is created. Kind of a simplified translation. Should mention that this Saturday there will be an enchant gathering. This is a kirtan and mantra meditation gathering that happens at Unity Yoga Tea House, which is at Commercial Drive and East 10th in Vancouver. It's going to be at 6 p.m. on Saturday. It's a drop-in by donation. It's a casual gathering of people. You're very much welcome. I will be there also. It happens every 2 weeks. It's at Unity Yoga Tea House, 10th and Commercial Drive in Vancouver, 6 p.m. Saturday. So hope to see you for that, if you can make it. Also, I should mention that coming up on the 16th of August, I believe, this is a Friday, there's going to be a special screening of a movie called Women of Bhakti. And that's going to be a special event that's going to be happening at Open Door Yoga on that Friday, the 16th of August. And tickets for that are $20, which includes kirtan, the movie, the presentation, kirtan, and also some vegetarian snacks as well. It's a pretty good deal for what's going to be a very enlightening evening of entertainment and participatory entertainment with kirtan. More information about that, you can go to givepeaceachant.org. It's all one word. I wanted to also introduce, wanted to cap things off with just a reading, something that's written by Sharon Gannon of Jiva Mukti Yoga. She's based in New York. She's a very prolific person, very influential person in the yoga, kirtan meditation scene globally, actually. And she gives a little bit of a description of the last track that's going to be played, which is a rendition of Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. This is again a Sanskrit mantra, which means, may all beings everywhere be happy and free, and may the thoughts, words, and actions of my own life contribute in some way to that happiness and to that freedom for all. So I just wanted to read a little bit what she wrote about this. This is a prayer each one of us can practice every day. It reminds us that our relationships with all beings and things should be mutually beneficial. If we ourselves desire happiness and liberation from suffering, no true or lasting happiness can come from causing unhappiness to others. No true or lasting freedom can come from depriving others of their freedom. If we say that we want every being to be happy and free, then we have to question everything that we do, how we live, how we eat, what we buy, how we speak, and even how we think. Karma means action. It covers all actions, thought, word, and deed. The law of karma says that for every action there is a reaction. Albert Einstein was reminding us of the law of karma when he pointed out that space is curved. Whatever is thrown out there will eventually but inevitably find its way back to its origin. So we should be careful about what we choose to think, say, or do, because we will be revisited by our own actions in due time. This may be a difficult idea for some of us to grasp, as we have been so thoroughly conditioned by our culture of slavery, violence, and denial. We have been told over and over again that we don't have to take responsibility for our actions, and that our individual actions don't matter much to the whole, much less to ourselves. In the United States, there is a common refrain when one's actions are challenged or questioned. It's a free country. Legally free, yes, but where are our actions taking us? Our actions are in fact probably the most important and defining aspect of how our future world will be shaped. We assume our own future suffering by what we do to animals now. When we choose to eat meat, eggs, or dairy, we are denying living beings the happiness and freedom we want for ourselves, but so often find hard to attain. These warnings date back thousands of years to the Yoga Sutras, whose dictates are as relevant today as they were then. We each weave our own tangled web of karma and will most certainly become entangled in it as our reality is being created from our own actions. When we chant, speak, or even just think the words Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu, if we include all the other animals with whom we share this planet in our concept of all beings, including the animals we use for food, we can start to create the kind of world we would want to live in, a kind world. The practices of yoga can guide us toward right action and a lifestyle guided by compassionate concern for the happiness of others. The first step toward understanding the link between how we treat others and our own happiness and liberation is to look at the deeper aspects of what the practice of yoga may be able to reveal to us. This is written by Sharon Gannon, which was from publication Yoga and Vegetarianism. It's an interesting blurb. So, without further ado, the first track, as I said, is going to be Sandra Lee with the Shanti Mantra, followed by a recording remix of Donna De Lauri's Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu from her remix album. We'll be back next Thursday for another installment of Mantra here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. It's Thursday at 4 p.m. You can also on the internet check out mantraradio.co if you want to download all the previous shows. Send us email at mantraradioshow@gmail.com. It's all one word. And also, of course, you can always check out citr.ca for all podcasts, for all the different shows, and information about Discord magazine. Thank you for tuning in today, and I hope you enjoyed some of what happened today on the show. See you next week. Until then, take care of yourselves. Namaste.
Shanti. loka samasta sukino pavantu may all beings be happy and free and may my life be a giving to this happiness and freedom for For us.
Thank you.